kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Kwentong First Nations, pagsalaysay ng kanilang nakaraan at karanasan.
Hi, my name is Bianca Easton. I'm a proud Bunurong woman from the Kulin Nation. I also have other Aboriginal ancestry, which we haven't been able to track to which area that was from, like a lot of people in Victoria.
You yourself mentioned that you got into weaving.
Yes, yeah. So I learned the practice a little bit from my grandmother when I was little, and then kind of forgot about it. And then with reconnecting to my culture, I've learned different practices again from other community members and elders. Making dilly bags, making weaving baskets, making what would be eel traps that we used a lot in this area.
What is it?
Eel traps, they were based... I don't know if you've seen outside the art gallery on St Kilda Road. There's a big metal eel trap in the pond. Basically, they were woven and used to catch eels. Where you'd have a river or something like that, you'd place it in between rocks and you'd cut off a section with rocks, and the eels would travel upstream through it and into the little kind of pond. So basically they'd swim around alive in there, and then you'd
pick
go back
up
when you're ready and come and throw the little ones back in and collect what you'd want to eat. Yeah, so that nothing would go to waste. Yeah.
So weaving isn't just used to wear or for your tableware. It's used in your everyday life.
Yeah, it's used in everyday life. So dilly bags we use to collect food. They're kind of the equivalent of a woven shopping bag, like the fruit bags, a bit different, but that same kind of principle that you'd use to collect food, carry, different things that your community needed in.
Yeah. And you said that the baskets acted like as a part of sharing history as well. You could put this...
So you'd learn that, so you'd pass that down, and there's different styles of basket making from different areas, and that would be a process that would be taught, passed down. Also things like baby carriers could be woven as well, and other things like that. So everything that we made was practical and part of daily life.
And you yourself is passing on this tradition to the next generation.
I teach weaving workshops and work with I do workshops occasionally with the Koori Heritage Trust and other organizations. Basically we weave and we chat, and people can ask questions and share some of that history. They can learn how kind of everything came from the land, how labour intensive everything was, but everything was valued and had a purpose.
Is weaving generally left to women?
It wasn't just for women. Men, it depends on the mob, like the
culture, the community.
Community as well. There are some that were. There were others also where men wove nets, and
it depends on the product that you are producing.
And also the area. Like, we have so many different mobs around Australia or groups. It's kind of like saying, what do all European people do? As in, there's so many different countries within there with different practices.
In the Philippines, weaving is an important part of a community as well.
Yeah.
And I ask if it was a women's, it was set aside for women, because in the Philippines, it was mostly women who weaved, as the men went to the fields to do the farming, and while waiting for them to come back, and they would do the weaving for the day.
And women also sat around and taught weaving and discussed matters. And so it was quite similar in that way. Yeah.
Do you have like a special loom, or is it everything done by hand?
Everything's done by hand. A lot of the grasses we used down here had a hard like shaft at the base, so it was almost like a needle. But there are other parts of the country where kangaroo bone has been used to make sewing needles, and also to sew things like the cloaks and other things. But basically, no, it wasn't on a loom. It was all pretty much handmade.
Do your children weave?
My daughter makes dilly bags, so the string bags. She does know how to weave, but she's not really into it now. She's still quite young, though. She's only 11. But then, you know.
So it is a process that you learn with a parent or an elder.
Yeah, or other community members. The Koori Heritage Trust is really good at passing on those sort of skills as well, and is a great place for people to go and look at Indigenous artwork. They have a lot of workshops that you can attend to learn different things, and kids' workshops during the holidays.
So we can learn.
Yeah, you can learn. Yeah, you can learn. Come in and try and learn. Yeah. Have a look at the art. Yeah.
Did you weave when your grandmother was teaching you how to weave? Do you still have those?
No, I don't. A lot of my things have been lost. So, I don't have the things that I made with her then. But there will be things around for my children that we've made together.
And that you would pass on to them as well.
Yeah, as well.
Is there a special project that you would like to do?
Finishing off our cloaks is with me. I just really enjoy passing on that knowledge, especially to First Nations people who haven't learnt. It's always really exciting when teaching other First Nations people some of our skills that have been lost or that they haven't grown up learning, and skill sharing. Also, with the general community, seeing how excited people get by learning new crafts and trades. Yeah.
You said that at one point you reconnected with your culture and with your...
So my two of my grandparents were Stolen Generation. I didn't grow up connected to my community. It was still a time where, where my mother thought we'd have a better chance in life if we weren't connected. She's white.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay.
How important is it that you... for people like you to be able to reconnect and find?
Oh, it's incredibly important. It fills a hole in your heart about who you are and your history. Yeah, and that's really important to know where you belong and your place in the world. Yeah.
Where did you begin?
We began by looking at family history and things like that. Places like the Koori Heritage Trust and other places have records you can go back through. And then finding... you can't always find where everybody came from because of change of names. And it was, an active practice to try and destroy the culture. But there's lots of places now that help Stolen Generation or ancestors reconnect with their culture. And generally, if you're contacting people, most mobs, the mobs understand and want to help people reconnect. Yeah.
And were you able to find...
With one of my grandparents, yes, I was able to find. And my daughter dances with their dance group now, which is...
And how did you feel when you were able to do that?
It's an amazing feeling. She'll grow up more connected than I was, and she just loves spending time with other First Nations children, kind of enjoy expressing their culture and representing that. as well.
Thank you very much, Bianca Easton, for sharing us your story.
E like, e share, e comment. Sundan SBS Filipino sa Facebook.